The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation and production. Visit our website at cspn.us for more episodes of the Gridiron Gals. And while you're there, click on the Keep Our Podcast Free link and shop at our sponsors, such as Blue Apron, gourmet meals and fresh ingredients delivered right to your door to keep our podcast free for you. You can fuck with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the score, I can get them both, I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cut a nigga off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money moves. Say I don't gotta dance, I make money moves.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is the Gridiron Gals podcast. And of course, I am Rita, a.k.a. the NFL chick.
And hey, everybody, this is Chelsea, a.k.a. Chelsea is Right.
So we're going to switch it up a little bit. Usually we start NFL talking and we go into college, but more important things happen in college than they did over the weekend in the NFL. So we're going to start with college because, you know, the NFL can wait, quite frankly. So if you missed it, you missed the national championship, a good game against Alabama and Georgia. And you know, it was one for the ages. Yeah, once again, it looked like the momentum was in Georgia's favor. They were up 13-0 going into halftime. And then Nick Saban gambles and puts in Tua. I'm not going to even pretend to try to say his last name. We're just going to call him Tua on this broadcast. And it changed the dynamic of the game. When you saw Tua come in, Chels, and I'm asking you because you're an Alabama fan, what was your initial thoughts to seeing that? What did you think was going to happen?
You know, I am so pessimistic when it comes to things. So I completely grossly underestimated Nick Saban. And I was just like, oh, hell. I said, he is at the point where he just is like, you know, like, fuck it. We're going to see what this other dude can do. He can't be no worse than Jalen Hurts. And actually, when I actually think about it and think about Nick Saban and how, you know, Nick Saban plays until the 4-0s are on the clock, I think this was pretty strategic. I think he knew what he was doing all along. So, but yeah, it made me panic at first. Now, of course, a lot of fans, a lot of the writers kind of predicted that he would come out at halftime. They was like, you know, we'd be very surprised if we didn't see Tua after the half. And even Kirby Smart said he told his team, look, there's a very, very, very good chance that you're going to see a different quarterback after the half. But, you know, stuff like that make me nervous. That make me nervous.
I mean, you know, coming into the season, people were saying that Tua was, you know, outplaying Jalen Hurts in preseason, in the spring games, you know, and then practice. But it's hard to switch from a guy that literally was the offensive player of the year for the SEC the year before, went to a national championship. Of course, they lost, but, you know, they lost with Clemson having the ball last.
Right.
So you kind of saw this coming. I don't know if, like you said, people started speculating, and I was like, no, would he do that? And then, sure enough, and I thought he might have done it for a series or two, but he played so well when he first came in.
Immediately.
It changed the impact of the offense. And people asked, you know, did that change the impact of the game? Well, I mean, now I don't know how to what degree, but certainly it changed the impact of the game. Those guys prepared for Jalen Hurts for a month.
Yes.
They didn't prepare for Tua for a month. Mm-hmm. They prepared for one guy, and we both know, and other people know, that Jalen Hurts is pretty limited when it comes to passing the ball. So you didn't have to have your safeties deep, and you could play a little bit more press and, you know, man coverage with Jalen Hurts in. Now with this other guy who you aren't prepared for, you really don't know what to think. And so you have to kind of go accordingly. So I'm not saying that completely changed the dynamic of the game, but it certainly changed something.
Absolutely, it changed something. You know, I don't think that Nick Saban will ever throw Jalen Hurts under the bus, but, you know, what we saw from Jalen Hurts in that game, and, you know, I've always said on this podcast, if anybody has listened to this podcast, I've never trusted Jalen Hurts, and I know I am also very, very pessimistic, but he makes me very, very nervous, especially in big games. And, you know, I think he got over that initial fumble thing that he used to do last year, but I think that he doesn't – he, and I really don't want to big up Tua so much, but he seemed to be a bit more dynamic. Jalen is not throwing that ball downfield unless he absolutely has to. And what we saw was, you know, he looked to one side, he looked to one receiver, and then the next instinct was to run, and he's running sideline to sideline. We need to move that ball forward. And so, you know, wasn't getting any yardage, was giving Georgia great field position. The defense is what kept it from being an absolute blowout in the first half. So, I know Kirby said that, you know, they watch film on Tua, but nah, watching film and actually preparing for a quarterback to start is a much, much different situation. And you know, you're prepared to stack the box against Jalen Hurts.
Right.
That man was stretching it out down that field. He was stretching it out. So now every time he dropped back, I covered my eyes because I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. But it was really like some kind of fairy tale game.
Yeah, it certainly was. You could just feel the energy come with him when he came into the game. And of course they go into overtime and he throws the great play to end the game. I was watching the coach's room, and on that specific play, Cutliff, the longtime used to work with Tennessee and now he's at Duke, he said that was the right call. They were in the cover two, Georgia's defense. But Tua looked the safety off, so the safety kind of froze into a certain part of the field, which allowed the wide receiver to get open,
and get
the score. So you got, because I think the fourth down play, the wide receiver that caught it, or the guy that caught it, wasn't intended for him, but he got
it. One of two people were gonna get it.
Right. Yeah. But I think the guy who got it wasn't supposed to be.
Deontay Thomas, I believe. Deontay Thomas or Deontay Smith? I think it's Deontay Thomas. He was not the intended receiver, but he actually caught the ball.
Right.
The intended receiver was Calvin Ridley.
Right.
Ridley. And they have been talking shit about Calvin Ridley the entire game. You know, oh, he hasn't been present. And what we saw on the other side of the ball, on the other team, is Calvin Ridley's younger brother, yeah, Riley Ridley. And why would you do that to yourself? Riley Ridley. Anyway, so we saw him catch some pretty big catches and catch a touchdown. I believe he got a touchdown. So, you know how the announcers are. Oh, Calvin's right. Overshadowed and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, that would have been great for Calvin to get that. But, no, he wasn't. But one of them would have caught it.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, they did. They wanted
yeah,
to,
yeah.
One of them did catch it.
I mean, I know, but what, if either one of them could have caught it, that's what I mean.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so I bring that up to say, great as the game it was, you had a couple of lucky things go in favor of Alabama. Mm-hmm. That, of course, the play at the end where the safety is supposed to be a pick, if we're being honest. If he doesn't follow the quarterback's eyes and he follows the wide receiver, that's probably an interception.
Right.
But at the offsides where there was a block punt and they said that he was offsides and he wasn't offsides. So those things kind of bounced in Bama's way and it helped build the momentum. And I say that because I want to shift gears a little bit because Georgia is a very solid team. Now, the issue that I have with Georgia in terms of beating Alabama is that they don't have a quarterback that's mobile that Alabama has problems with.
Right.
So I don't really know going forward how this is going to work unless Justin Fields somehow gets some play time. But I like what I see from Georgia. Unfortunately for my Gators, but I like what I see from them. They look like they're going to be good for a good while. They have a top five recruiting class in the early recruitments already. And, you know, I would not be surprised if we see these two teams play within the next 2 to 3 years again in a national championship.
Oh, people would shit their pants if they see that. let me tell you, I almost did not enjoy, like, the build-up to the game. I don't know. Up until like the game actually started, I was just like, oh, national championships tonight. But I got tired of listening to the, oh my God, two SEC teams. Oh, USCF should be in this. Oh, all of this kind of stuff. I was like, I don't know if I can go through that again. I mean, you know, it is what it is. If it ends up that way, it is. But I'm going to have to turn all of the sports stations off because all of these people are calling in and they're so upset over, you know, no one is ever going to be happy. No one is ever going to be happy. And hopefully, maybe, you know, Rita, in 3 years, we have the college football playoffs looks different.
Potentially, but I think that Georgia has definitely put themselves in a position to be very good for a good while.
Oh yeah.
When I don't know he ever be Saban happens, you know, we'll be waiting. But for now, you know, he's 0-1 in terms of head coach head to head battles. So with that said, because Nick Saban continues to beat his students at what he does, he's won 5 championships, 9 years. I mean, what is there Nick Saban for him to do next? Like, do you even see him still coaching 5 years from now if he wins another championship? Like, what is there for him to do at this point on the college level?
Nothing. He can stop. He can stop right now and be one of the greatest college football coaches ever. So the thing is that, you know, we're talking like what will, you know, kind of like what will be. But for Nick Saban and I think for people like that whose passion is coaching, people who live for coaching, they just want to keep on coaching. I don't see him going anywhere in the next 5 years, especially when the money is right.
I don't know. I think that Nick Saban definitely has a thing for breaking Bear Bryant's record, which I believe right now mm-hmm. they're tied.
Mm-hmm.
So if he wins another one, he does that. But then after that, I'm not really sure how – I'm not really sure what he'd be willing to do. I don't know if he'd be willing to go to the NFL level again because, remember, he failed at the NFL level. That was the one place that he went. And didn't he has won essentially everywhere he's gone except on the NFL level. He didn't do well with the Dolphins. And the problem that he had back then, which really up until now he still had, was, you know, overlooking the quarterback situation. Because remember, they did not pick up Drew Brees in Miami. They tried to say that he was still hurt, didn't want him. They thought he was a liability. He goes to New Orleans and the rest is history. So that hurt Saban, obviously, because the quarterback that they did go with, Dante Culpepper, never really fully recovered from his knee injury, and thus, you know, Nick Saban goes back to the college ranks because that's what he's good at. So
that's what he's good at. I don't think he will come to the NFL because unless he thinks he's going to win 2 Super Bowls in a row, he likes to win.
I know, but see, we've seen Pete Carroll do this. We've seen Pete Carroll go to the NFL, not do well, go to college for years, and be a powerhouse, similar to what Saban, well, not similar. Saban's obviously better at it, but at USC, that was one of the greatest teams I've ever seen. And so you've seen that. And then he was like, okay, well, I mean, what am I supposed to do here from here? And he went back to the NFL after failing the first time. So I'm curious to know if 5 years from now, he's like, okay, because I figure 5 years from now, he's going to win at least, at minimum, 2 more championships. I say 3. I'll give him 3. And so it's like, okay, well, I've done everything I can do. Like, am I going to retire? Do I want to still coach? Like, you know, so it'll be fun because he has nothing else to accomplish at Alabama. Like, nothing. He's going to pass Bear Bryant. He's going to be the greatest Alabama coach in the history of the school.
In history. He's going to be the greatest.
He's going to be the greatest college football coach ever.
And he's going to have that trickle down. Like, we talk about Nick Saban and Bill Belichick and Sean Payton and all of those people who are part of the Bill Parcells coaching tree. And then we can talk about which branches of the tree are coming from Nick Saban. So you got Kirby Smart. You got Jeremy Pruitt that's going to Tennessee. Yeah. We'll see what Jeremy does. Lord have mercy, you got Lane Kiffin. But do we have to count Lane Kiffin? Like, I want him to go away.
Lane Kiffin right now ain't in the Power 5. He don't count.
Okay, good. Because I don't even want to. He makes me sick. Even though he really makes me sick because sometimes he makes good points, especially when he's live tweeting games. But I just don't want to include him. But, you know, he's like the family member that had to sit at the kiddie table at Thanksgiving. Just sit over there somewhere. But,
and I wouldn't even really count him either because Lane Kiffin, before he went to Nick Saban, he obviously had his own thing. He was a coach. He went to the NFL. I mean,
So we want to look at people that came up under Nick Saban. Like, you know, that kind of came up under him. So yeah, I mean, so he may have his own, you know, we may be talking about the Nick Saban coaching tree and, you know, and things like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, he doesn't owe Alabama or college football a thing.
He doesn't. He really, and so that's why, I mean, you know, again, and I think 5 years from now, he wins at minimum 2 more championships. I said 3 because I'm going to give him that because you got to because he's Nick Saban. I mean, he's the king of college football. So you got to assume he's going to have a couple more. You know, like, do you say I'm going to keep going or do you say, all right, I'm ready to do something different? And so we'll look forward to that. But before we get to the NFL, I do want to say that your guy, back to Jalen Hurts, I think that he handled the situation as good. I would not be as mature as Jalen Hurts. You could tell that he was going through a lot of different thoughts when he was being interviewed, which, by the way, you ain't interviewing me about me being benched after no national championship game. You get the fuck about my face, Marty. Okay? And that's what I would have said. Marty, get the fuck about my face. He handled it like a pro, even though you could tell that he had a million things running through his mind. I think he realized that was the end. But I want to give him a shout out for that, because that was a grown-up dude in a situation like that, knowing that essentially your career at that program is over.
I mean, I don't think that we could have seen a better response from any college level player. I think that even some NFL level players probably would have, you know, not handled it as well as Jalen. Like, you could tell that it was not fake. He was genuinely happy. He couldn't even, when that confetti was falling down over his head, he couldn't even get it together. And when Tua threw that first touchdown, Jalen Hurts was the very first person that met him on that sideline. I mean, he hyped him up the entire time. Because look, imagine being Tua coming into that game and like, national championship, you ain't played in no games. And no, you know, unless it was garbage time, you ain't really played in no games. You ready? Like, I would have been like Willie Beeman throwing up on the sideline. Like, it would have been really hard. So he really supported him along that way. Nick Saban has, as people tease back and go back to some of the dialogue, they say that, you know, Nick Saban has always said his team has two quarterbacks, but we've only seen one. And regardless of what happened in the second half of that game, and regardless of how I may feel about Jalen Hurts, he makes me nervous or whatever, Jalen Hurts got him to that championship.
Yep.
And he got him there last year, too.
Yep.
So you can, you know, I saw the memes. I saw people making fun. They said that's the end of Jalen Hurts. Let me tell you, if it is the end of Jalen Hurts, some team is getting ready to get a prize.
Levitard tried to get your boy Lane Kiffin to say he was going to go up to Jalen Hurts, and he was like, I've already been fined by the NCAA for tweeting at Lamar Jackson, so you're not about to get me talking about Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts can go somewhere and go somewhere else and stunt, but you know what, Rita? It may not be over for him, because another thing we have to realize about Jalen Hurts is he's one of those athletes that doesn't come around that often.
Yeah.
You know, he like a Lamar Jackson, like an Ezekiel Elliott, that these are not people that are just good at football. These are actual athletes. Like, these are actually rare people that are out here that can do things that most other people cannot do. Like, Jalen Hurts, like, bench presses like 450, something like that. I'm like, what do you even need to lift that much for? But he can. So, like, you know, that kind of thing makes me think that he may not be done at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
He may not be done at Alabama, so we'll see. But you know, Nick Saban, what you call him, the evil genius? You never know. You never know.
Yeah, that's true. It'll be interesting to see what they do from here with that situation. On the other side, Jacob Eason, he said he getting the fuck up out of there, because writing was on the wall for him. He said, "Okay, well, I know I'm not getting that job back, so I'm gonna go head back over west."
Hey, it's a done deal. Now we can talk about somebody it's a wrap for. Hey, I forgot all about Jacob Eason.
We all did. That's the problem.
They said, I saw
him. He was bad. He's a good quarterback.
I know. But, hey, it happens. Hey, look, Jalen Hurts took somebody's spot. Hey, it happens.
It happens.
And so, you know, damn, where is he going, though? I don't know where you're going. Because
he's going back to Washington.
He's going back to Washington. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But he's going to be playing for Washington. And so, you know, I get it. Like, that's the business, unfortunately. He got injured. Jake from State Farm came in, and he didn't give it up. And, you know, that's what happens. You know what I mean? It don't have nothing to do about what you've done. It's nice, but you got to ride with the momentum, and the momentum was with the young bull. So you had to go with that. And so Easton said, okay, well, thanks for coming out. God bless
you. Thanks for coming out. God bless you. Good night. That's terrible. I'm glad he had somewhere to go, though.
Mm. Yeah, so, you know, He's gonna get a new home back at home, but unfortunately, because of NCAA rules, he won't be able to play next year. So that's the downfall of the NCAA and how bad they suck when it comes to these types of things, because he won't be eligible to play till 2019. So we'll be looking forward to see him then. So another great year of college football, another great championship. I miss it already.
No.
I really don't want to talk about the NFL because last week's games were awful, but, you know, this is a football podcast, so we have to go and talk about the NFL. And so, look. I know, right? Oh,
and
man.
Oh, man. But the thing about it is, like, talk about letting the wind out of the sails. Like,
yeah,
we really follow up some awesome, awesome weekends of college football and get to the NFL, and we're like, are you kidding me?
I mean, legit, I think we can probably agree that the Saints-Panthers game was the best game of the weekend. you know, I'm going to make this real quick because the games weren't that good.
They weren't good.
So I'm going to get my roundup real quick. I'm going to let you get your roundup. We can move forward to you know, the other news.
What's going on this weekend, right?
Titans-Chiefs, for me, was Kelce went out and the game plan just completely changed for Kansas City and they forgot to learn how to run the ball. Falcons and Rams, the field is a fucking mess. I don't understand why the field is so bad.
I was like, we're going to see somebody die out here today. Somebody's leg literally is going to come off.
Seriously. I mean, it was so bad. Like, I couldn't even watch it after a while. I was like, this field is so bad. I really couldn't understand. Buffalo and Jacksonville, two teams I really don't care to see. But Jalen Ramsey, I love his sassy ass. Do you hear me? That's all I watch for.
Sassy pants.
And then, of course, you know, Carolina and New Orleans being a division matchup, that was a good game. Cam literally has nobody to throw to, nobody to play with, and came out there with a concussion to try to end the game. So those are my thoughts on the four games very quickly because there really wasn't a whole lot to say because they weren't that great. So what was your perspective on those four games?
So Titans-Chiefs was actually more competitive than I thought it was going to be, but I don't even know why I thought that because the Chiefs gonna cheat. Kelce went out. They said, what are we supposed to do now? What do we do? Alex Smith, you know, Alex Smith has the I try too hard thing going on. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work out. And so that's pretty much what happened. So now we have a Titans team who nobody wants to see play go to New England. They're going to New England, right?
Yeah.
They're going to New England to die. Hey, they may prove me wrong and pull this one out so I can laugh real hard. Prove me wrong, but yeah. Otherwise, Falcons and Rams. I just think with that game, I think it was experience versus inexperience. I think if you put the Falcons there next year, if you put the Rams there in that very same spot with a year to mature with their coach and everything, I think that they probably take the Falcons out of the playoffs. But the Rams are fun to watch. They're still fun to watch. Hopefully they can get back in there next year. Mm-hmm. Buffalo and Jacksonville is not worth talking about. Carolina, New Orleans, I piggyback on everything you said. Cam tried to do everything by himself. He couldn't. His wide receiver, you could clearly tell he had the limp arm. At the end, near the end of the game, there was a potential touchdown in traffic. He couldn't even lift his arms up. It was jump ball. He couldn't even lift his arms up to get it up. And that's a situation where you probably would have needed Kelvin Benjamin because he can jump up there and get that ball. But hey, you know, it is what it is. He's not there. But yeah, and you're Cam with a concussion. I don't care about no eye. Cam with a concussion trying to win a game with no help, with hurt receivers. And Funches isn't bad, but he was clearly hurt. And then all of a sudden, you know, with Cam Newton, and I can't believe y'all making me defend Cam Newton, but everything is on Cam.
Mm-hmm.
It's Cam's fault. Everything is on Cam. And I'm like, isn't he like the team's leading rusher or something? Like,
yes, he is. Yes.
How is everything on him? Like, what do you want him to do? So, you know, while I have said what I have to say about Cam, and I still feel like he needs to sacrifice a pig to the ancestors or something, y'all got to get off that black man. Like, leave him alone, please. He can't do it all. So hopefully they can get him some help. They got a new GM down there now. Hopefully they can get Cam some help down there. And then we can see him, you know, do his thing. And that's all. Yeah, I wasn't, it was, they should have put the national championship game on Saturday. put that on Saturday and move Buffalo to Jacksonville to Monday. And that way I could have been to bed early.
You're right about that. You're absolutely right. All right. So before we, you know, take a look at, you know, take some picks for this weekend, playoff games. A couple things happened. You got John Gruden back to Oakland, 10 years, $10 million. The NFL is currently investigating the Raiders, who allegedly fired John Gruden, then fired Jack Del Rio, then brought in a minority coach to interview so they could comply with the Rooney rules. So they did it all wrong. First of all, what's your thoughts on Chucky going back to Oaktown? And secondly, your thoughts on the Rooney rule situation?
Well, I honestly, I mean, I guess every year we hear that Chucky may be going back to the NFL and everything. I can't believe it's actually happening. And it's like, wow, I can't believe that they gave him a left tackle contract. $100 million and $10 million a year. Yeah. I'm like, well, how much is guaranteed? What the fuck kind of contract is this? I mean, they threw the kitchen sink at him. And I do think that in that contract is a portion of the team. So, you know, my thing is, what do y'all want out of him for those 10 years? Because he hasn't coached in almost that time. What do y'all want from him out of those 10 years? Because if I'm throwing $100 million, $10 million a year at you, I'm going to need me about 3 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
You got me? Can you spot me 3 Super Bowls?
Okay.
I'm going to need at least, at the very minimum, 2. I might sleep at night with 2, but I'm going to need at least 3 Super Bowls. So, like, or very, very close. I'm going to need playoffs next year.
Yeah.
High and no, like, far into the playoffs. I'm talking about far, I agree. Deep into the playoffs next year. So, you know, what are the expectations for him, you know, coming in? And I know because he's Chucky, he can bring other kind of coaches in. You know, well, right now he's bringing his children in. But, you know, he can bring other people in and stuff like that. But when let's get to this Rooney rule. Like, first of all, y'all, the Raiders are messy anyway because you are not going to fire Jack Del Rio until you knew that Chucky was going to take this job. No one else was going to get this job unless it was Chucky Gruden. Right. So you already live in foul there. But then you're going to circumvent the Rooney rule when you know better. When Al Davis would not have done that.
Yep.
Mark is not Al.
Yep.
With his stupid-ass haircut. He is not Al Davis, and you cannot circumvent that Rooney rule. It is there for a reason. And when you do that, and I'm listening to these callers calling in, talking about why does it matter? They knew they were going to hire John Gruden anyway. Why does it matter? You say that as a person of privilege who does not have to worry about being looked over or not even being looked at. Not even being looked at. Because the thing is that even if a person comes in, if a black person comes in and is interviewed, and you already know, well, look, we got John Gruden on speed dial. And even and the black the brother knows, I'm going in here as a part of the Rooney rule. But that person that's interviewing you, you may wow them enough to where they say, you know what? Let me make a phone call because I think you would be a good fit here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't know what kind of opportunities may come out of interviews that don't go the way that you expected them to go. You know what I mean? And I would like to see some of these black coaches get a better chance. Some of these coordinators get moved up to head coaching positions more often. But for what, it doesn't happen. One is the good old boy network. You know, somebody goes in, they pull in all of their, you know, their relatives and they pull in the mentees and all of that kind of stuff. But you can't get around that Rooney rule. And I would love to see what the NFL is going to do about that. I would love to see what they're going to do about them just saying, fuck the rule. We got John Gruden.
Well, yeah, I don't understand how people first. So when it comes to certain things, people want us to comply to rules. But when it comes to other things, we don't have to comply to rules.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Okay. And it's odd because usually these are the same people. So, you know, I just think it's interesting that to the rules that you say are important, but then the ones that you deem to be unimportant, they're okay to overlook. And in both situations, it has something to do with race. You know, there's a rule for a reason. The rule was implemented for a reason. Absolutely. Because minority coaches weren't getting interviews like they should have. And they're clearly qualified minority coaches out here.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a problem because let me give you an example why this is a problem. If you haven't heard, North Turner has become the offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. Now, granted, he's not the head coach, okay? But he has brought along 3 members of his family to assist him on his staff with the offense for Carolina. Again, I know he's not the head coach, but why is North Turner allowed to bring in family to help him run a show? So if you think that that's wrong, if you think that that's that's not okay. What makes you think this is okay?
Right.
And that's the issue that I have. Furthermore, what the fuck has John Gruden done? Let's be clear here. Yes, when he was in Oakland, he had success. And by success, I mean he had been to AFC Championship.
Mm-hmm.
And he had gone to the playoffs, 3 or 4 years in a row. So it's not that they weren't good, because they were. But he didn't win a Super Bowl with them. He then went to Tampa and won a Super Bowl with with my guy's team, Tony Dungy, and then turned around and played against the team that he had literally coached the year before, who had made no changes.
None.
No changes on offense. So he knew the cadence. He knew the calls. Tim Brown complained about this for years, and he still complains about it. So, and then after he won that Super Bowl, he ain't did shit.
Nope.
So you think... So a man that won with somebody else's team against the team that he formerly played for, who made no changes from when he was head coach, won a Super Bowl, and then did nothing else after that, and then you think that that's good enough for him to get $10 million a year.
$10 million a year. I heard someone say, well, John Gruden has been in the booth calling games, looking at film, and doing that. Shit, I have been too.
Give okay, we all have been. What does that mean?
That don't mean nothing. Get the hell out of here. He ain't been. You thinking that's all it is to coaching is looking at film? Draft time coming, baby.
I guess so.
Draft time coming.
He does Gruden camp, someone says. So, you know, he's abreast with what goes on with quarterbacks. Well, first of all, he has a quarterback. So I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about here. He's coming into a situation with Derek Carr. So, okay. You know.
Listen, I'm here to enjoy the show, Rita.
Yeah.
Because these people are foolish. And entertain me next year.
It obviously, it will definitely be one of the teams to watch, mm-hmm. for obvious reasons. And now with all that money that he's getting paid, I mean, he literally has a target on his back. So people are going to micromanage everything John Gruden does. And you know what? I don't give a fuck, because the Raiders should have known better. And I don't care about the Raiders having the first minority coach, and then the Raiders having one of two black GMs in the NFL. I don't care about any of those things. You have rules to comply with, just like the others, and you need to comply by the rules. And if you got caught not complying, you need to pay a fucking fee or price. And that's the end of that.
Yep. But you know what, though? You know, something tells me that they just like, I don't care, and I'll pay the fine. Maybe charge them a draft pick. Charge them a draft pick.
Good luck. Good luck, motherfuckers. Okay? Because you're also confident in somebody who didn't do the final thing, which was get the Super Bowl for you. So, you know, good luck. That's all I got to say. I hope it pans out for you. Not really. I don't. I don't give a shit. So there's that. But we'll see how this goes. All right. Before we go, I'm going to spring this one on you real quick. I don't know if you heard this, but Le'Veon Bell is not being quiet about wanting his money.
Yes, I heard this. He said he wants to retire.
No, he said he wants to be valued.
Oh.
And if he's not valued, he will sit. He is ready to sit out for the year, or he's ready to retire.
Boy, go on somewhere and lay down and take a nap. Throwing out my face. Shit, two years ago, your ass was smoking weed at a gas pump or some shit.
Well, that's true.
Get on out of here somewhere. You know, the Steelers played. They, you know, they're kind of dramatic.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, you know, you wouldn't have been Roethlisberger. Like, I don't know if I'm playing no more. Man, shut up.
Yes, that was definitely Ben Roethlisberger in 2017.
Get out of here. They all dramatic.
I'm not mad at Le'Veon Bell's take. I think as a running back, your shelf life is very short, and he wants to get paid. I'm not really sure if he's doing it the right way by being public about it, but you know what? He don't give a fuck, obviously, about what I think. And he's doing it the way that he wants to do it. And the Ravens fan in me is here with my cup of tea, and I'm going to be just watching this play all out. And the Steelers don't like to pay people big contracts, so I am curious to see how far this goes, because there's a very good chance Le'Veon Bell does not get the money that he thinks he deserves. And I'm here for it.
Uh-huh. He's gonna have his black ass right back on that field too. he might have his mouth
on his bluff.
Yo, I'm calling his bluff. Uh-huh. And they are too. They are too.
I'm curious to know what happens. Look,
you ain't gonna hear no more about that. Guess what? Guess what's coming? Draft time, baby. That nigga goes, excuse me.
Excuse us for that word. We're apologizing.
It just smooth came out.
That's how you know what somebody made.
That's how you know. Look, draft time coming. He could be sitting at home watching, like, I wonder what they're gonna do. You better sit down somewhere.
That is hilarious. So yeah, I'm curious to see how this whole thing plays out. But you know what? Let me on. Go for yours, son. You only live once, so do what you gotta do out in these streets. All right, divisional round, NFL weekend. Here we go. You got Atlanta at Philadelphia. The Nick Foles led Eagles. What you got?
I don't think that Philly is going to be able to handle Atlanta. I have Atlanta for that game.
If Carson Wentz was in, I'd have no problem picking
Philadelphia. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's not, so I'm not. So there's that. Tennessee at New England.
Next.
How about this? Does New England, the spread right now is -13 for New England. Mm-mm. Does New England cover?
Yeah, they're gonna cover. Do that? They might cover the spread. I wanted to say no. I wanted to say I think they might beat them by a touchdown.
I think 10 points. I'm gonna go with 10.
Yeah.
I think that they'll have some garbage points at the end of the game. I'm gonna say that the Titans will cover the +13. But I don't think it. I think they still lose by 2 scores, and so I'm going to go with New England, Jacksonville at Pittsburgh. I'm here for Jalen. If you have not seen, it is locker room interviews this week about this game. Then please go to Twitter, and he's hilarious. Antonio Brown is supposed to be playing, so you know, yeah, Steelers or Jags.
I would roll from one end of my house to the other if the Steelers lose to Jacksonville. Especially if Jalen Ramsey, it's too many Jalens. If he locked down Antonio Brown, like I will roll from one side of my house to the other. However, I don't think that's going to happen. I do think the Steelers win this game, but I hope they entertain me.
Yeah, I want to be entertained, and I'm here for...
You want to see a fight?
Yeah, no, I just want to see a good game, and Blake Bortles, I'm not confident that he gives me that, but you know what? We'll find out. So, I am going with the Steelers, and then finally, you have the Saints heading to Minnesota.
Oh, man. This is the one I'm really looking forward to. Woo! Drew Brees versus Xavier Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Minnesota win this game.
Do you?
I do. I want to see Minnesota win this game. I know people want the Saints to go. People are, you know, fake jumping on the Saints and stuff like that, but I want to see Minnesota win. I want to see something different.
I wouldn't mind Minnesota winning, but I am totally here for the Atlanta New Orleans NFC Championship.
Oh, you want drama. Okay.
Yeah, I want
to see a whole fight.
Excuse me. I have sat through shitty ass games all year long. Yes, I want some damn drama. I want to see some asses wiggling. I want some action. Okay?
Ooh, Rita trying to see the Real Housewives of NFL or some shit.
I'm just saying.
Trying to see a mess.
If you youngins out here is listening, that was a quote from Purple Rain. So, you know, just to get your history up. But yeah, like, mm-hmm. I deserve. I have sat through many a shitty game. I sat there and watched that shitty ass Buffalo Jacksonville game last week. Damn right I'm looking for an Atlanta New Orleans NFC Championship game because the people deserve better. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. So I gotta
and go the timeline we have. Don't you think we have a really Saints Falcons heavy timeline?
Yes, we do, and I love it.
Like, I love it, and like I'm just looking like, look. Let me tell you, that Saints Falcons rivalry is way more serious than Ravens Steelers or Cowboys Redskins. That shit, like, yo, they might actually shoot each other.
Yep,
they might legit shoot each other.
I mean, it's bad out here. It's bad out here.
Hey man, we just stay low.
So I'm just here. I'm here for it. I'm here for that. And while I like the Vikings, I have nothing against the Vikings. I'm sorry. I am interested in some action. And the action, I think, happens the following week. So I am taking the Saints in hopes that I get a Saints-Falcons NFC Championship game. And there's
All right.
So that we is made it. Do you have any final thoughts, Chell?
I don't have it. Oh, well, here's my thoughts. I'm going to list them. I'm going to do it in bullet form. One, Roll Tide. Two, Georgia fans, y'all can notice that I cannot say anything to y'all on the timeline. And this is why. See, when games go into overtime, I really try not to talk a lot of shit. Because once the game goes into overtime, anything can happen. Like, I feel like it moves from skill to luck. So, I didn't say anything. George Foster, you know I did not say anything to you. But don't come for me next year. Don't pick at me because I got one in the clip. Mm-hmm. I got one in the clip. I'm looking forward to some really good games this weekend. Please don't disappoint me. Let the NFL go off. This was a shitty year for the NFL. It was just like one big dumpster fire. Let us enjoy these last few weeks. Please give us something to look forward to. And that's all I have to say.
I think I kind of gave my final thought, which was, you know, I want the Saints Falcons championship. So, you know, my final thought is what a great story about the Bills giving Andy Dalton, you know, all that money because the Bengals beat my Ravens. But I am very fucking glad that the Bills lost so I don't have to hear that damn story anymore. And I was tired of hearing that shit every goddamn day. And now I don't have to hear it anymore because the Bills lost. Losers.
Losers. I'm glad the Bills lost because I don't like how y'all did Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, exactly. So forget the Bills. Forget the Bills. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so
see you in 10 more years.
Exactly. No, like 18. More like 19.
Like
so yeah, I'm glad that I don't have to hear that shit anymore. And I'm good on that. So all right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it, man. I mean, you know, college football is officially over. I'm sad.
Oh, man.
So I'm counting down days to next season. And we got NFL playoffs. So hope you guys enjoy the game. Like, we will try to.
We will try to. All right.
So don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now. I make money moves. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss to a worker, bitch. I make bloody moves.